Hello there and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program of Blind Citizens Australia. BCA is the national consumer representative voice of Australians who are blind or vision impaired. Our mission is to achieve equity and equality by our empowerment, by promoting positive community attitudes, and by striving for high quality and accessible services which meet our needs. Ride our dreams down. Hi, this is Ricky Chaplin here. This week we're going to feature the opening speech given by Mr. David Blyth at the Blind Citizens Australia National Convention held in October of this year. David was, of course, the inaugural president of Blind Citizens Australia back in 1975, and during this speech he details the development of blindness organisations in Australia. It's quite fascinating to listen to. So let's take a listen now as David opens the National Convention for Blind Citizens Australia this year.
Thank you, Greg, and good morning all. It's a real pleasure to be here today to talk to you in this opening session. And I thought I'd talk about the genesis of this organisation, because I'm seeing in the program there's going to be a lot spoken about where we are and what we're going to do and what we have done. In about 1911, several groups of blind people, mainly from blind workers' unions in Queensland, South Australia and Victoria, plus the Blind People's Association of New South Wales, met and formed an organisation called the Australian Federation of Organisations of the Blind. Quite a mouthful, isn't it? AFOB. They were very active, very keen, mainly trying to get decent working conditions for their workers in their factories. Nothing much has changed, has it? And in 1952, they had their first major success in the fact that they convinced the Menzies government that the blind pension should be partially means test free. In 1955, they convinced the government it should be fully means test free. So that was one of their great successes. In 1963, I attended my first meeting of that organisation. It actually was up here in St George's Terrace in Forest House here in Perth. And then I learnt the problems that we have in this country because of our state prejudices and real jealousies, I would say is probably a better term. Good policies were thrown out or accepted in principle but never acted on because they were put up by South Australia if the Victorians didn't like them, or Queensland if the New South Walesmen didn't like them. It really was quite difficult. And we proceeded with that organisation through until the early 70s, and then several of us, the late Hugh Jeffries particularly, and a couple of others and myself, said this is no good. We've been trying to open the organisation so it would be open to all blind people in Australia. You didn't have to be a member of the Queensland Blind Workers Union to be a member if you lived in Queensland or whatever, in each other state. This was fiercely rejected. We were radicals. We were beyond belief. So we left. And then in the early 70s, mid-70s, in the Whitlam era, when change was quite evident in the community, there was another group got together in Sydney, and they wanted to form an inclusive organisation. But it was rather exclusive rather than inclusive, because the board were self-generating and had sole right over who could be or could not be a member. And we, being Victorians, being the people in this country that believe in equality, were opposed to that idea. So some young Turks turned up on the scene, like Bill Jolly and his brother and sisters, John Masham, a number of others, Peter Sumner and others. And we all decided that, no, that's not going to work. So we got to work, and this is what you've got today. I'm going to leave most of that for Bill to talk about, because he's the historian of this organisation. And I have to say that this organisation has a great debt to the Jolly family. Bill's mother and his late father and that family were great supporters. There have been a number of other people too, but I would like to particularly recognise them. But why did we need an organisation like this? Why do blind people need to talk about what they want or tell the community what they believe in? It's because this society in which we live in is vision-based. And we need to find ways that blind and vision-impaired people can access and be valued members of their community. It is important that we see ourselves as a part of the community, and we want to be accepted and valued. And there are many things that we found that were barriers to that way of living and that way of thinking. And one of the biggest barriers was amongst ourselves. We were prepared to accept a second-class status, and we've had to fight against that. We looked at issues that we saw as things that affected us every day of the week. Like, how do you get across a road if you can't see the traffic signal? How do you access the information that's in the white pages of the telephone book once they got rid of 013? How do we do a number of these issues that are basic things for everyday for sighted people? So we believed that we had to find a way. We didn't want to fight the world. We want to work with the world. And that's why today we have an organisation called Blind Citizens Australia. I'd just like to finish with a small story which says to me what we are about. I moved to a new home a couple of months ago. 5 months before I moved, I started a process with Vic Roads and Vision Australia to get audible traffic signals on a very busy intersection, which already had traffic signals. We got nowhere. We got fiddled around. We got tossed out of here. In desperation, I went to my local Member of Parliament, who happened to be a member of the government, and they wrote to the minister. I had to write them a letter, which I copied to BCA, and they wrote to the minister. When BCA received the copy of my letter, Ricky Chaplin rang me up and said, "David, do you want us to get involved?" And I said, "Yes, please, Rick." 10 days later, I received a letter from the minister saying that they'd looked into my case. Yes, we had a case. Yes, there was a high priority. And we did need these signals, but there wasn't any money. And it would be put on the list, and in due course, we would get them. The very next day, I received an email from Ricky Chaplin. And he attached an email he received from Vic Rose. And this is on a Tuesday. "Your audible traffic signals will be in and working by the end of the week." You tell me we don't need a BCA. With that, I declare this conference open and thank you for your attendance, and I look forward to probably not another 40 years, but quite a few of them. Okay, thank you.
That was David Blyth there, opening the National Convention for this year for Blind Citizens Australia. Now we're going to listen to an excerpt from the welcome speech given by the President of Blind Citizens New Zealand, Mr. Clive Lansing. Clive's got some really important points to make here about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. So let's have a listen to what Clive says.
Now I want to start by congratulating Blind Citizens Australia on the achievement of this important milestone, 40 years of advocacy on behalf of blind people. Congratulations. Next week, my organisation will be celebrating 70 years. And although we've been around a bit longer, the truth is that blind and other disabled people in both countries are walking the same journey together, even if we sometimes follow a different path. Up until the 1980s, much of the work of my organisation was focused on issues specific to blindness. More recently, as other disability organisations have flourished, we've been working much more with those organisations to promote a common vision that society should be fully inclusive of all disabled people. I believe both our countries ratified the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities at much the same time in 2008. Here in New Zealand, the convention has given new impetus to the work of disabled people's organisations like ours. Articles 4.3 and 33 of the Convention oblige states to closely consult with and actively involve disabled people through their representative organisations in important decisions that impact on us, and so we can fully participate in promoting and protecting and monitoring the Convention. So the Convention creates a form of partnership between the country's government and disabled people working through our representative organisations, a partnership that upholds that mantra, nothing about us without us. The idea is to ensure disabled people will be closely involved in decisions that affect us and impact on our lives. To us, it is very important to understand what is really meant by this word, represent. We know there are many in our community, including people who are disabled, who undermine the credibility of organisations like ours, claiming that we are not really representative of disabled people. We also know of strong-willed disabled individuals who reject the idea of collective action but instead demand to be heard in their own right and want to be perceived as speaking on behalf of disabled people generally. We don't tell the government who they can and can't talk to, but we do say the Convention demands that when the government makes critical decisions that impact on the lives of disabled people, they must directly consult with organisations that can show they have a clear and obvious mandate from disabled people to speak on their behalf. Since the Convention was ratified, the catchphrase that now guides the work of our various organisations is making our rights real. We are told on the one hand that we do have rights, but at the same time, we're all too aware of how society fails to meet our needs in many different respects. The government has committed itself on the international stage to all the objectives in the Convention. Our job now is to do what we can on behalf of our members to hold the government to that commitment. Our challenge is to really do justice to the aspirations of our members within the limited resources that we currently have. We're seeking real progress across the whole spectrum of issues that I'm sure are well known to blind people in both countries, such as in education, access to information, employment, access to public buildings and facilities, public transport and culture, etc.
We've got a couple of announcements to make before we finish up. Firstly, we do have another member forum coming up, and the dates for this forum are going to be either the 23rd or the 25th of November. We have a couple of sessions there, and we can create extra sessions if there's a demand for it. They will be teleconferences as per last time, and the topic for this forum is going to be public transport. If you'd like to register for the forums, you can contact the office on 1-800-033-660. And finally, don't forget that we have a competition open at the moment to come up with a new theme song for New Horizons. We have, of course, been using the old Seekers song, Future Road, for the last 20 years or so, and it served us very well. But we do feel that it's time for a change, and we thought it would be a great opportunity for people who are blind or vision impaired to come up with their own theme song. So if you'd like to enter, you can email your entries to bca@bca.org.au, and we just need a copy of the words in electronic format and also a recording of the song, which of course doesn't have to be too elaborate. Can be as long as we can understand the words and the melody, that should be fine. The competition closes on November the 16th, so you've still got just under 2 weeks to be able to get your entries in. So we really look forward to receiving those entries and seeing what people can come up with. Well, that's about it for New Horizons this week. Please join me next week as we continue to explore the issues that affect people who are blind or vision impaired. Blind Citizens Australia is funded by the Australian Government through the Department of Social Services and from the Victorian Department of Human Services. We receive financial and in-kind support from Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, Guide Dogs Victoria, and the RPH stations throughout Australia. Generous donations are also received from our members and the broader community. Blind Citizens Australia is located at Ross House, Level 3, 247-251, Flinders Lane, Melbourne, Victoria 3000. Our national office contact number is 03 9654 1400
or toll free 1-800-033-660. You can email us at bca@bca.org.au. Our website address is www.bca.org.au. Right on, dreams down.